Arts.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your gas light's on. We need to fill up.
Gas around here is too expensive.
Don't drive all over searching for the lowest prices. Just download the free Upside app and get cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying gas? I'm stopping now to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code EARN for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. That's promo code EARN.
More farmland is being lost to development.
It's estimated that more than 31 million acres of U.S. farmland has been lost to urbanization in the past 40 years. Leanne Cherry farms hundreds of acres in Middle Tennessee outside Nashville.
Our roots are here. We want to stay here. We also want to stay a sustainable farm.
Another 20 million acres of domestic farm and ranch land could be lost by 2040. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
While a crumble cookie is delicious, a standard size is around 720 calories. So the cookie chain has now downsized to help our waistline.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this for so long.
They've launched mini cookies that only pack 240 calories each.
Is this not the tiniest little box that y'all have ever seen from Crumbles?
Naturally, fans are all over social media talking about the minis.
I am so excited.
You can only get them on Mondays. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
Nourish your soul every Sunday with WMST. Start with Gaither Homecoming Radio at 7 a.m., followed by Gist Howell and the Main Street Church of Christ at 7:30. After the 8 o'clock news, it's Sunday Morning on Main with Becky Black till noon. Then 6 to 9 Sunday evening, tune in to the Reggie Gay Gospel Show. Find encouraging words and music every Sunday on 106.9 FM, 1150 AM, WMST, and WMSTRadio.com.
Here's your LAX18 Storm Tracker forecast. It's the last weekend of April. It's going to feel more like June out there, though. It's a partly to mostly cloudy sky today. It's a windy day. It's a very warm day. High temperatures, upper 70s to around 80. Minimal shower chance. Partly cloudy tonight, low 60s. Partly to mostly sunny tomorrow and hot. We're in the low 80s. I'm Chief Meteorologist Bill Mack on WMST.
Good morning, sports fans. Welcome to Sports Extra, sponsored by your Scottsdale McDonald's with two locations in the Gateway area. Don't forget about our friends at the Pilot Travel Center. Pop on in. You'll be thrilled out there. Our host, Ivan Rawls, is at the Maisel Road location. Let's bring him in. Ivan, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Jeff West. How are you doing? Back at the Central Station there on 22 West Main Street. It's a beautiful day here in the Gate City, and I know you got a lot of activity going on downtown. They're kind of doing their clean sweep this morning for Earth Day. I know that I saw the mayor and several citizens and young people doing their clean sweep down there on Main Street today. It's a beautiful morning to do it, isn't it?
That's correct. I talked to Tracy Pierce, our tourism director, just a few minutes ago. She said there's 30 to 40 people here cleaning up around the downtown area of Ivan. It's prideful people taking part in cleaning up our downtown area.
No pun intended, but the town is littered with folks cleaning up, right?
that would be the case.
It is, but it's a beautiful day. We hope people get out and enjoy downtown Mount Sterling. And we still got some construction going on down there, but they've paved the roads and they've made it, you know, a little bit more of a pleasant drive to downtown. We hope everybody gets downtown and enjoy this beautiful day and patronize our small businesses downtown, those beautiful storefronts that we have. But, Jeff, we're out here at the Scott Family McDonald's on Maysville Road. And, hey, it's been busy ever since I've been here. It's kind of taking a little bit of a lull right now. But, hey, they got all the great offerings out here at the Scott Family McDonald's here on the Maysville Road location, as well as the Pilot Travel Center off of exit 113. We ask everybody that listens in and enjoys this show and other programming here on the Gateway Sports Network that you patronize businesses like this that give back to the community and allow us to highlight all the great things going on in our community, especially on the athletic venue. But, Jeff, we got a special guest here today. And, you know, I know that our rating numbers are going to go way up. The Estill County community, it always is up because Miss Barbara Rising is always listening in. She's a faithful listener here, and yeah, I know she's going to enjoy our guest here today, much like we are. But, hey, it's prom day here in Montgomery County today. Jeff West, and what was you wearing back in 81 at Estill County? Because I'm going to ask our guest what he was wearing and his prom date that day. But what was the color scheme, Jeff, were you at Estill County High School back in 81?
I think this has been 40, 50 years ago, Ivan.
Gets a little hazy.
Yeah, a little hazy. I'm pretty sure I had a brown tux. My date had a pink kind of thing going on.
Did you have the ruffled tux shirt back then?
I did not choose the ruffles.
Okay, because I knew that was pretty popular around that time frame. So the ruffles were vogue back in that day. But I'm getting ready to find out what our special guest wore at that time. But we're going to welcome in our special guest here this morning. We're going to get a chance to, you know, talk athletics. And that's one thing that we love to do. And he's had a great career in athletics and still doing great things on the national level, as he's the executive director for the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association. That's a mouthful, but we welcome in this morning Estill County alum, Montgomery County and Mount Sterling friend and longtime resident now in that Hoosier State, and we'll forgive him for that. But Phil Rising, good morning. How are you, my man?
Thanks, Ivan. It's great to talk to you, and it's great to hear listen to Jeff there. And I'd probably, as he was reflecting there, I'd have to go back and look at probably the yearbook. I do remember, I think I had a baby blue tux maybe with the ruffles, and I think Paula wore something maybe navy, and I'd need photos to confirm or deny any of that. But I know Jeff and I both graduated together, played ball together, and I think both of us reflect back on our time and are thankful for the people that influenced us at Estill County High School and in that community.
Yeah,
there were so many individuals that poured themselves out into us, and we're thankful, and I know I'm very thankful and reflective of all those individuals.
And continue to do great things over there in Estill County now. And, you know, I know they're highlighting some of the things they're doing with the technical school and offerings. You know, because that's something, you know, you were in high school administration for so long and things of that nature. And we got so much to pushing young people into going to four-year degrees, and those are still great. But then we were missing out on some of those technical skills, things like plumbers and electricians and carpenters that we still need. We found that out, that we still need those folks too. And welding is a big thing nowadays, and I know Estill County's doing a great charge there, and they've done a lot of great things with that high school campus and middle school campus over there now.
It is really nice. It's very impressive when you drive by, and it was very nice to see them get the technical school. And as you said, anyone that don't understand the power and the economic impact that those individuals can have for us, need to come live in Carmel, Indiana. I can tell you exactly what you have to pay for the needs of, you know, a good HVAC person or a good plumber, or, as you said, welders, as we need, and so forth. And so it was exciting to see that. It's exciting to drive there by the high school and to see what they've done there. So very impressive and very proud of them.
Yes, and not everybody has to know how to design the machines or build the blueprints on a bridge and stuff like that. You need the people that are actually going to put hands on and actually fix those things and actually put them together and manufacture them a lot of times. And that's great to see that there is that investment there. Not that it's detracting from anything else, but there's an investment because there are kids that want to do that.
Absolutely.
And we see it all the time. But Phil, you're back in your home state this week. You've had a busy last couple of months. You've been on the road quite a bit.
Yeah, I've been on the road 21 out of the last 27 days, traveling across the country. One of the benefits or of my job is the opportunity to travel, and I've been to 10 different state athletic administrative conferences where I've been the keynote speaker in that session, and the opportunity to talk about education-based athletics, which is a passion of mine, and you know, the opportunity to represent the NIAAA at the national level and be the executive director and serve our 15,600 members that we have across the country and internationally. And as I was sharing with you before we came on air, we just recently got great news. The state of California just went a dual state. And what that means primarily is when you join your state level, you also join your national level. One fee for both. And we have 39 states that are dual states. And that in itself, it's phenomenal. And so California has 1,700 athletic administrators at the high school level. That doesn't include middle school, so the opportunity for growth there. So we anticipate and we're hoping as we start a new year, July 1, that we'll be over 17,000 plus and trying to meet the needs of coaching coaches. Yeah. And serving our students as we provide education-based programs for our educational entities across the country.
And that's a major task. You were telling me out there, only 8 employees in an organization. And you talk about that grand scale, that big number that you're interacting with and you're providing resources to and information and training and those. That's a tall order. For a group of 8.
It is, and you know, it's quite often leaving the education field in Kentucky in the roles that I served in education and going to Indianapolis and to serve the NIAAA. People say, what do you, you know, a dear friend of mine who I love, who was such a great supporter, Dick Fuller. I remember when I got hired, Dick said, now Phil, and Dick was always very inquisitive, and he used to say, tell me again what it is the NIAAA does. And I can remember us sitting down and me explaining to him, you know, what the NIAAA does. And really in simple terms, Ivan, we're teaching and learning for high school and middle school athletic directors. So we're accredited just like any other educational entity would be with Cognia. We go through standards-based training and we go through standards-based accreditation to where we meet certain standards. We have a curriculum. Mm-hmm. A national certified curriculum of 60 courses that athletic administrators can take, from the foundational courses that would involve your entry level into athletic administration to the foundational level of legal responsibilities that an athletic administrator would have, to the fact of any other host of responsibilities from the standpoint of curb appeal, making sure your facilities are in great position and you're impressing. Because the great thing about education-based athletics and in community, and the thing we've got to always remember is it's always about communities. You and I and Jeff talked about Estill County, and we talk about Montgomery County, Bath County, Powell County, all of us here in the Gateway Area region and whatever, Round County, you talk about those. But those are communities that are vital for the success of education-based athletics. And when you see towns have success like we I watched on the National Federation Network the state championship between, you know, Lyon County and Harlan County, and to be able to watch that and to see the engagement of communities is so vital and so important. But we have a curriculum of training that we do and we offer, and there are 4-level courses. In every state, you can get continuing education through these credits, through these courses. Then we also have a national certification program to where an athletic administrator has the opportunity to become certified at a national level. We're certified by the National Certification Commission. We offer other components. We do a quality program assessment to where an athletic administrator can take their program, have it evaluated through 10 standards of best practices. With that, you're assigned a mentor. You go through, and it's a great validation that validates your athletic program that you're doing within your educational concept within your local school district. And so at the end of the day, it's teaching and learning. We do have a small staff, really proud of that staff. We have 8 of us there at Keystone Crossing, 9100 Keystone Crossing, where our office is there in Indianapolis. And we serve a lot of members, but it's really a rewarding experience. We're in the service business. Yeah. Our members come to us for a lot of things from the standpoint. Sometimes it's advice. Sometimes it's primarily what's the best program for us to look at. There's always emerging trends going forth. And then as we work collaboratively with the National Federation in administering them programs, them as the rule governing body, primarily for interscholastic athletics, and us as the component of athletic administrators who are carrying out that as boots on the ground. Then at that point, it's really exciting to be a part of that and to see it from a holistic scale, not just to see it from the you know my background in the sense of being engaged here in the state of Kentucky as a former Kentucky high school coaches president to the Kentucky athletic directors president. So I have that state scope, and then to be fortunate enough to serve on the NIAAA board in 2010 and to be supported by my staff, the staff at the high school. Shannon White was so supportive. Dr. Daniel Freeman was just outstanding in support. And those before them supported me in that professional growth. And so to be a part of that and be engaged in that, that's one of the reasons I'm probably sitting at in the chair I'm in today. That and probably the good Lord said, hey, I've got a plan for you. You just don't know what it is yet. And after reflecting back on 8 years, the vision is clear.
Yeah. We're here at Saturday Sports Extra, coming to you live from the Scott's Family McDonald's right here on Maysville Road here in Mount Sterling. We ask that you patronize not only this location, but the one at the Pollitt Travel Center off of exit 113. Our guest this morning is Phil Risen, Executive Director of the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association. I may not say that much more. I might just take the NIAAA. I just wanted to get that out there for those of you listening in and say, well, what is the NIAAA? I'm going to give it to you, but boy, it sure is a mouthful. But Phil, you mentioned you've been there since 2016. The last 2 years, you've been the executive director. You took over in the midst of the pandemic. We talk about challenges all the time. We talk about in athletics how you may have to change things up on the fly. You had to do that. How has that changed the services you provide to these communities? I know a lot of things probably now are more technology virtually based anymore, but that's got to be one of the challenges for your staff and how you disseminate information and how you go about doing these courses. And maybe in years past, maybe they had conferences in certain locations. Maybe now more that's gone web-based, or are we still doing a lot of the in-person engagement with some of the web-based training stuff?
That's a great question, Ivan, and it did. Since March 13, 2020, it changed how people do business. From the standpoint is the NIAAA, we've never had a remote work schedule, but we now offer remote work for some of our staff who can work basically through their technical skills at their home, and we offer that for four of our staff members. Our executive staff is always in the office. So it changed that a little bit. It changed the fact, too, of the way we do some things with revising our curriculum. We used to bring individuals, fly individuals into Indianapolis, put them up, and we would bring them there for two or three days to take a course, break it down, and revise it. Now, through the technology based of Zoom or Teams or Google's or whatever, we can have meetings, virtual meetings, really all the time. For example, I was in Louisville on Thursday visiting the Kentucky High School Athletic Directors Conference, the Kentucky Athletic Administrators Conference, and after visiting with some friends there, and I was speaking the next day, I had to go up to my room because I had a Zoom meeting at 8 o'clock with our membership committee. So that's one of the things it's done. I think the other thing that technology did for athletic administrators is a little bit more networking opportunities. We now have a state president's meet on a monthly basis, and we're able to facilitate that. So a lot of our meetings have gone to Zoom. At the end of the day, what we don't want to lose is the foundational and fundamental structure of that relationship building. It's so important, and it's face-to-face, people-to-people. And so our board still comes in. They come in February and in July. We have our winter and summer meetings in February and July. We still host our national conference. We rotate that. Next year we'll be in Austin, Texas, followed by coming to Tampa, followed by that going to Phoenix, and then from Phoenix we'll come back to Kansas City. And Kansas City will be the culmination of 50 years of the NIAAA, and we will celebrate that. And the reason we're going back to Kansas City is that's where the NIAAA and the National Federation originated.
Yeah.
But when you talk about that and you talk about the scope of how it's changed, It did for probably about an 18-month to 24-month period really change a little bit from the aspect of how we do business. I think business is starting to come back a little bit in the sense all of our states are hosting their conference in person. There was about a two-year period there where there was some virtual. We did a virtual conference in 20 because of the pandemic. We were scheduled to go to Tampa, and we couldn't do it. We hosted a virtual conference, and that was a daunting task to put on, contracting with the provider and et cetera, and doing those things. In the end, it worked out really good, and we had great numbers. We had about 2,400 attend that. But technology, you've got to use the balance. It can make you, it can use you and assist you and save you some financial resources and meeting.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you can't lose the contact that we still need to be, especially in education.
Yeah.
It still needs to be face-to-face.
Yeah.
You still need to have the personal contact and build the relationship building of trust and the collaborativeness of networking together. So I think that those are some changes. And again, that's a great question. But I do see us getting back to the way of normal business. All of our states are hosting conferences, and it's exciting for us. I have two associate executive directors, Becky Moran, who was a longtime AD in Illinois, and Rich Barton, who was a longtime AD in Utah. Rich has the Rich played for Utah State. He's about 6'8". Just a great athlete, basketball athlete, and he was probably more excited about Mark Pope coming to UCO. Yeah, he was really excited about that, and he said, "Phil, he said you're going to love him." So, and I said, "Well, we already do." But with that being said, I meant when you think back about the way we do business, we try to go out and visit our states. So, Rich and as busy as I've been traveling, Rich and Becky have been doing the same thing, getting out to other state conferences. And so it's a divide and conquer. And again, at the end of the day, I'm new into the position, so a lot of states wanted me this year and wanted me to come, and they wanted to say they had the executive director there and showcase a little bit and be able for me to have some words of challenging plus sharing initiatives going on within our AAA. So we're excited about what we do. We appreciate our partnership with the National Federation and that collaborative that we have. And I know Hugh McReynolds, who is the executive director here in Kentucky, and Julian Tackett work great together, and I think that's a great relationship as well.
Phil, when you look at the landscape in scholastic athletics, what are the challenges? What are the things that you're all discussing in these conferences, the things that you're forwardly thinking that are the challenges you have to meet? We look at athletics all the time, and you know where we are today, when we look back 15, 20 years ago, there are probably things going on now that we couldn't have even fathomed back then. But that's what you all are challenged with, of trying to meet what's next and where things are shifting towards. What are some of the challenges right now that you're seeing for athletic administrators and for some of these communities and schools?
Well, I think two or three things there I'll mention, and there's a host of things that we work with and keep at the forefront as we partner with the National Federation. Number one, the first thing is athletic administration turnover is very high. So if you look at, I think some to the fact have the grand vision of the fact that maybe they go into the position and they think it's going to be, you know, boy, it's great. I get to go to the ball game, eat popcorn, et cetera, et cetera. And what they find out is a lot of work. And then, quite honestly, things that happen across the country, most of our athletic administrators are in dual roles. Don't know if that's fair for them and the fact of mental health that it takes in order for them to serve in that capacity and also be a father, to be a spouse, or whatever, or to be a mother, whatever it may be. And it might not be fair to them, but we've got some ADs that go to the office. I did it for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I'm thankful because of Paula.
Yeah.
I had support at home, but to think to go to the office sometimes at 6:30 in the morning and then to get home at 9:30 or 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Where is the mental health, the balance,
life-work
balance that we talk about so much?
Yeah.
So that's a concern. So I'll give you an example. Indiana, and Bruce Whitehead, who's the executive director for their ADs Association, they have 464 schools, high schools. They had 70 new ADs last year.
Mm.
Now, the reason that is reflective of me, because Indiana is kind of a model of how they
manage their interscholastic athletics, because of their ADs, 96 to 98% of them are full time. That's all they do.
That's all they do.
And so that might mean they have a little bit more work-life balance, to where they're not maybe at the office at 8:30 in the morning, especially if they've been out at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
They might not be there till 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or whatever, and it's more of a structure of that. But they still had 70. Now, we went through the great resignation period after the COVID, where we had 48 million people say, hey, I'm not working anymore.
Yeah.
Or I got to do something else or whatever. And so that has occurred, and we're working through that. So that's one of the challenges we work around the country with, making sure we got mentoring in place at the state level, at the national level, to serve in the needs where new athletic directors are coming in. Other issues that you deal with from the perspective of right now, different states have different rules.
Yeah.
And so our job at the NIAAA is we're apolitical. I could care less about politics.
Yeah.
What I care about is the fact that we serve student athletes and we serve coaches. And so whatever the rules are in that state, whatever it says about transgender or whatever it says about any of those combined, that's what we're going to teach, we're going to train, and we're going to abide by.
Yeah.
Trying to provide resources, putting resources in the toolbox for our athletic administrators to understand. So that's so important as we engage. And again, across the country, it's a wide spectrum.
Yeah.
You can go from one state to one state, and it's completely different from the standpoint of eligibility, from the standpoint of how they handle transgender student athletes, et cetera, et cetera. It's all of that is different. So those are a lot of components that we continue to deal with and continue to work with. And those are on the forefront right now as we work through that. The other things that are out there is as we continue to work with Department of Education's to make sure that they understand our curriculum and what we're doing and the training that takes place there. But there's a host of things out there. The final thing is that, and I've already kind of said it a little bit, is that we don't want to lose community.
Yeah.
And what's the challenge for community? Well, about 5 miles where Paul and I live, there's a facility called Grand Park. It's about 400 acres, has about 30 baseball and softball facilities that are turf.
Yeah.
It has 3 indoor regulation turf facilities. It has 8 basketball and volleyball indoor facilities. It has soccer facilities and whatever. And I can tell you this, starting on March the 13th, 2020, whenever across the country we were shut down, I could drive up there on the weekend, and they weren't. And so that's a challenge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so and with that being said, as my philosophy is I'm not against playing outside the rim of the school environment. What I'm saying is that there needs to be boundaries and guardrails.
Yeah.
And for parents, and I'll use my own family, Lindsay participated in summer softball.
Yeah.
But as a parent, I was the guardrail person. I was the one to make sure that, number one, we're not doing this except for, number one, we want to play with different teammates, opportunity to work with different people, individuals, maybe have some different coaching per se. But at the end of the day, there needs to be guardrails, because that's where we can't lose community.
Yeah.
Community is so vital. And, you know, I get the opportunity to travel in Indiana. I attend a lot of basketball games up there, just naturally have drawn to that. And with that being said, they play a great brand of basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's exciting to go to a gym. And I live there to two of the biggest high schools in the area where we live, Carmel, that is 9 through 12, 5,200. And then Westfield, which is right there where we're at, which is 9 through 12, which is 4,300. And you go to a high school basketball game, and the gym's packed.
Every night, yeah.
And it is, so that's community.
Yeah.
So for athletic administrators, one of the things we're focusing on is that how do we embrace community to where we maintain community by building our programs where communities engaged in the fact of the support of education-based athletics. And I've used this quote, and I use it everywhere I go. And I'll tell any superintendent this, and understand I've been in those positions, and I can look at the data. The best dropout prevention program, if it is ran right in the educational entity, is education-based athletics. It's the best dropout prevention program.
Yeah.
And we spend less dollars over that program than we will some of the other programs that we have out there.
I concur with that. Saw it with my own eyes when I played high school sports. You know, there were teammates of mine that I know, while they were involved,
with football, they made sure they made the grade. You know, now they may have waned a little bit since the season was over if they weren't participating in something else, but it did. It was kind of the carrot for them. And you're absolutely right. It keeps them focused on the task, on what's ahead and what's it going to take for you to maybe realize your dream or your aspiration in playing sports. And it is, yeah. It is a very...
And the landscape that's changing, and I didn't mention it. I try to stay away from it right now a little bit. But with NIL, it's creeping down to the high school level. Matter of fact, Wisconsin on Wednesday had a vote, and their athletic administrators voted it down because their state activities association was trying to offer a form of it. Their athletic directors voted it down. There are some areas in the country, some states, where NIL is allowed.
Yeah.
And to me, I say this with all sincerity, I'm not against individuals earning and making money. I think what we've lost is the true value of what the springboard of basketball or the activity in education-based sport was the purpose for, and that was to the value of getting an education,
Yeah. The
value of the fact. And so I'm okay with them making some money. I do think there needs to be some equality there to where, let's just take hypothetically the men's basketball program at UK and the women's basketball program at UK. To me, all of those players, maybe should receive a monthly stipend,
yeah.
And it should all be the same.
Yeah.
I want them to be able to go out and have a normal college life and be able to maybe if they want to date or if they want to go see a movie or if they want to go eat. I'm okay with that. But some of the money we're hearing out there, it just takes it and skews it to the point to where it's not really what we're going. And so there's three questions that I always ask. You know, why do we have sports? Why are sports in school? And it's really simple. Education-based.
Yeah.
That's why we – and then why are sports on TV? Mm-hmm. Well, they're on TV because it's commercial entertainment.
It's commercial. Yeah. Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, what do sports teach? Well, sports teaches nothing. It's a curriculum. Mm-hmm. What's – the people that – Teach sports,
yeah.
And so when you think of the coaches and the people, and that's why it's funny as we started there listening to hearing Jeff talk and whatever. You know, one of the things I say, I am a true product of education-based athletics. And I have no championship rings.
Yeah.
I won no championship. But I am where I'm at today because of the individuals who poured their life into me through education-based.
Hey, Phil, let me interrupt here. What was the what was the last thing that Coach Garrett told us at the end of a ball game, when we come away from a away ball game and we were pulled into the parking lot? What was the last thing he told us?
Well, I know he was always big on the fact that he wanted us to make sure we remembered to behave. And to do the right thing. And he always challenged us in the fact of who you're representing.
I remember that he always told us, make sure you're in school tomorrow morning.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
And make sure you're in class tomorrow morning, fellas.
That is so key. I'm glad you chimed in there on that, Jeff, because that is, you remember so much about what a coach said or done for you and things of that nature. I get young men that I coached or played with, they'll recollect a memory either when I was coaching them or when we played. You remember what coach said or did in this moment and what we learned from it. Use it every day in my work life. We're here at Saturday Sports Extra, live from your Hilly Family McDonald's. It's picked up pace again here with the traffic, and people are enjoying the great McDonald's menu. I want to remind you, for a limited time here at your Scott Family McDonald's, they got the Bacon Cajun Ranch McCrispy. It's a chicken sandwich with bacon on it and pickles and a little special sauce for a limited time. Come out to that Cajun spice sauce that they have to go with it. Come out and enjoy it with that. Our guest here today has been Phil Rising. I've only got him for a short amount of time now left as he's got a tea time coming up. and that doesn't surprise me one bit. You know, we were a duo at one point in time. I was the A player on the duo. You know, I just asked him to go in and tap into put again, we didn't have camera phones the way we got them now when me and Phil last played, so whatever I say we'll go with, and he can't produce anything that says any different. So whenever we played and doubled up, that's the way it was. Phil, when you you talked about earlier being apolitical and how things go. Are you ever asked in your role with some of the state associations to maybe go and talk to legislators, lawmakers about what they're doing to, for their states, for interscholastic athletics on that regard, to maybe try to influence maybe changes in the way laws are structured to kind of provide certain resources or to think about? You know, you talked about the athletic directors and having to play multiple roles at their school. Do you ever have to speak on behalf or you know, lobby, if you will, with
well,
some of the lawmakers?
I failed to mention a little bit in the fact that we do other things and benefit for our members. We have an advocate in Washington, D.C., that we contract with who works on our behalf. So I've been to D.C. numerous times in order to speak to committees or to I've been to the U.S. Department of Education to share with them our programs and some of the things we're doing and so forth. And those are opportunities I don't take lightly, to get the opportunity to speak on behalf of athletic administrators across the country. But we work collaboratively primarily with the states. You know, at the end of the day, Ivan, we try to stay away from the rule governing part because the simple fact is that's not our reach. Mm-hmm. Our reach is the training and teaching and learning for athletic administrators. Our activities and athletic associations, that's their reach to be enforcing the rules and whatever. So Carissa Niehoff, who's the CEO for the National Federation, and her staff work collaboratively primarily with their lobbyists and advocates in trying to influence bills maybe that can have impact. We stay abreast of that through our advocate, who provides us with a weekly report of things that are going on across the country and then what's occurring in D.C. So we try to advocate on that behalf. You know, at the end of the day, if I could model the perfect situation, you know, to me, an athletic director at the interscholastic level would be full-time. They would serve in that capacity. But at the end of the day, that's a local education agency's decision whether they do that. It's also the individual's decision whether they continue to do that.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
why you see the high turnover.
Yeah.
I think if we look at what we ask our teachers to do, and let me just say this, I am so supportive of our staff who work in the educational environment. It has changed itself since the pandemic. It is completely different.
Yeah.
And there are challenges that they're facing today that when I was in the profession that we didn't face and we didn't have to deal with. So, but we continue to try to stay abreast of that as far as us advocating or proponent or supporting. We do sign off and co-sponsor on some things that occur in D.C., and that's a decision where if our advocate comes to us and says, we feel like this is a bill we would like you. Currently, like right now, what we're trying to work on is a tax benefit for our athletic administrators, to where if an athletic administrator uses some of their personal funds to buy supplies, et cetera, or whatever, for a student athlete, then they can use that as a tax exemption. Currently, Senator Scott from South Carolina is co-sponsoring that along with it's a bipartisan bill, sponsoring that with a senator from Vermont, and they are working on that to try to get that to where, because, again, some of our athletic administrators didn't come from the realm of education-based, to where they didn't go through the pedagogy of being a teacher.
Yeah.
Primarily, maybe they were maybe started in a recreation department, or from that, maybe they went through a MAP program or whatever in order to get education certified to be hired at that level. So a lot of things we're doing, we work collaboratively together. I can tell you that sometimes I sit there and I look at some of the issues going on and I kind of shake my head and I think, where are we going?
Yeah.
Where are we going to be in 10 years? And so currently right now, our board just put together, we will start our sixth strategic plan, which is a 5-year plan that we use that guides us. Our last strategic plan, which expires this year, we had 35 initiatives that were identified for us to improve how we operate, do business, et cetera. There's three components to that. And we have completed 31 of those. So that strategic plan drives our board, and I know Cogni has been so impressed with that, and we're really appreciative of that relationship we have with them and them working with us to make us better.
We've been talking today to Phil Rison with the NIAAA, the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association. He's the executive president. His home base now is in Indianapolis.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah.
You know, as the good book would say, I'm kind of a foreigner in a strange land, okay? And so with that being said, when we think of home,
yes.
This is home.
This is home.
And, when you have you have your daughter here and your son-in-law and you have two grandchildren, yeah. You naturally gravitate to come back.
Yes.
So Indiana's home right now. It's where we sleep, where we lay our head, and it's where I work. And we're thankful for that, and we really have enjoyed it. It's been really fun. But again, when we think of home, I think back to our church family here, Gateway Christian Church, and just all the individuals there that being part of that and so forth. It's just been a blessing. So you might say I live, but I kind of tell people, because here's the crazy thing about it, Ivan. I go somewhere to speak, and they're saying, you're from Indiana?
That doesn't sound like Indiana.
So, we have some fun with that a little bit as traveling across the country. That's really good.
Before I let you go, Phil, obviously Lindsay uses pollen probably as a resource to understanding how this works out with an athletic administrator and trying to do the parenting and marriage relationship and getting through it. You're a resource for Austin, I'm sure, in his endeavor and his job. How many times have you had to walk Austin off the ledge when he's facing some challenge that he's like, hey, how would you handle this? What are ways to go about this? I'm sure you've had to walk him off the ledge many a times when he's come into to different unique situations.
I am so proud of Austin. I am, and Lindsay. Yeah. I am so proud of them and Kobe, our son. I'm just so proud of them and the people that they are. But Austin, I've tried to keep my distance in the fact that I'm here if you have a question.
Yeah.
If it's related to maybe what's going on around the country, I can share with you. Historically, I can share some things with you that I know about Montgomery County and when I was serving in that role. I worry about him. I do. I pray for him because the simple fact is his job is the same job that I did as assistant principal and athletic director, and I know how intense that is, and I know he's trying to be. He's a great father, and he's a great husband, and so we talk, not a lot. He might ask a question sometimes, and I'll just say, here's a resource I maybe would think you might want to look at. I think might help you because he's highly intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's done a great job. I'm really proud of him and what he does and what he continues to do. Don't know what the future holds for him. I know that as a young man, he's going to have, with his skills and his talents, he's got options. As our friend LeBron would say, he could take his talents probably anywhere, but he's got he loves here. He's been a part of this community since they moved here, and just really proud of the work he's doing. And I know that he deeply cares about the student athletes and his coaches that he's serving, and wants for them to have success. And I will share this insight with me. I think whenever the E-team,
the esports
team won the state championship, he called me and he said, I just want to know, how many banners do you hang up, as an athletic director? And I kind of appreciate, I said, that's awesome. That is great. But excited for them, what they continue to do, and just pray for them as they continue to work forward. And I'm always a resource for him. I tell him, I'll say some things. You can take it in one ear and out the other, or sometimes you can let it sit in there and kind of, swish around a little bit and see how it plays out. But he's really done a great job, continues to try to move the pendulum forward with here in the community. And I hope he continues to do that.
Biggest piece of advice you could ever get given him was to, how do you coddle Dan Manley and make sure that the extension cord is plugged up at the arena, and so we got power. Just coddling Dan, it was something that you had to do in that role, and Austin has inherited.
And I want to say this. I want to say this, Ivan, because the simple fact is that when you talk about community, WMST's community.
Yeah.
As part of that community, and I think back to the years being here and being able to have the voice of the Indians be WMST, and not only just at home but on the road, and to bring it to so many people, and we still have that in great communities, but it's not as like it used to be.
Yeah, it really isn't. And I know you stream in and listen to us
I do.
Up there, and it's almost like you're shooter on Hoosier. You know, you're sitting there in your bed listening to a late night game before you tuck yourself in. That's what I'm envisioning. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, it's a recliner. If that makes you feel better.
There you go. There you go. Well, Phil, thanks for coming out. I know you got to go and tee it up. Hit them straight today.
It's good to be back. I did take, as I told you, from my travels, a few days off after finishing in Kentucky's conference Thursday. So I've been trying to hit that white ball for a couple of days. And I head back, Paul and I will head back tomorrow after church. We're going to celebrate somebody's birthday. I think my daughter's hitting a milestone maybe a little bit.
Oh, Lord.
And then we'll go back to work and got some traveling down the road and looking forward to continuing to serve and just appreciative of the individuals in this community who have poured themselves in me. And hopefully that I continue to do things that are reflective and representative of what they've poured in me and the confidence that they have in believing in me. And I'm so appreciative of that.
Tell Paula hi and give Miss Barb a hug. I know you'll do that before you go head back home. But thanks for coming out this morning, man. Hit them long and hit them straight. I know you're going to hit them long. I just need you to hit them straight.
Thanks, Simon. Great talking with you.
Yeah, thanks. That's been Phil Rising this morning, the executive director for the NIAAA, the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association. We appreciate having him on this morning. And Bear Fuller came over. We want to congratulate Luke Fuller on his championship with the Conference USA in golf. He was the tournament champion, did a great job there with that this week, as well as Phil mentioned the esports team. They were semifinalists, runner-ups in their division this past week. A run 3 years, had two championships and a state runner-up. So an outstanding job that they've done with that program. But I didn't want to leave the air without mentioning those two accomplishments. A great accomplishment by Luke Fuller, Montgomery County alum, plays for the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Just a huge accomplishment for him. Mentioned today is it is prom day here in Montgomery County, and of course not much sporting activity going on to allow those that want to participate in the prom to do that, but tennis, they are involved in a tournament today, but that's about the only action that we have going on in the athletic community here at Montgomery County. Again, the MCHS anglers, the bass fishing, they also, in an event today at Harrington Lake. And they've got six boys teams, two girl squads will be competing.
They're going to have to deal with some windy conditions down there today.
I'd say the water is probably a little choppy down there, like, because it's been a blustery day today, and it's been an awesome accomplishment that they've had, the number of boats they've been putting on the water in recent years with the anglers, Jeff. But I guess they get them ready for when they go out to Kentucky Lake. Kentucky Lake usually has a lot of choppy waters. So
to the flatland out there, Ivan.
To the flat, beautiful area, though, isn't it, when you go out there? The wildlife refuge and things of that nature. It's a great area to be in. Of course, next week, Jeff, we'll be live again here from the Scott Family McDonald's, but that'll be our Derby edition. We always try to do a Derby edition each year. And
are we going to have a guest?
I'll pull Barry Jewell in. He's a very in tune guy, individual. He knows it insides and out. He's even dabbled in now in the last couple of years of holding shares on some different horses. I think that is just one of the unique things that you can do now, is kind of buy in shares with certain stables on certain horses.
That was pretty cool. A couple of years ago, we had probably seven or eight guys and gals there in the winner's circle, and all of them had a share.
I know. Nyquist, I think, was maybe one of those horses. I said Nyquist. It was a different. It was a horse that they were out of. I think the New York area, the Long Island area. a group of folks went in together on a horse, and then maybe California Chrome, I think.
I believe that's the one.
Yeah, California Chrome was one. I'm almost certain, but there was one, I think, maybe not last year's Derby, before last, that had a similar story, backstory to it. But I think that's just so fascinating. I mean, if you're a horse enthusiast of thoroughbred racing, to own shares in a horse that has that type of success, you feel like you're the big owners. You feel like, hey, I can walk down into the winner's circle and enjoy in what is just a great spectacle.
I think last year's Winter Mage was the horse that we were talking about, Marvin.
It may have been. I remember the story, and I just couldn't remember which horse it was. I'm almost certain California Chrome was kind of like that. But you might be right. You might be right. Mage may have been one of those horses. But, of course, Keeneland closed its gates yesterday to the spring meet, and that means today Churchill Downs has opened up its gates and prepared themselves for what will be the 150th running for the Roses next week. And, wow, Jeff, I can't wait to get down there to see what they did with the renovation to the paddock area. Seen some video.
I've seen some video as well. That 150 square feet of they've really widened and enlarged that area there.
And that's a massive area. You know, you talk about just a paddock area. You know, you equate with what we have over at Keeneland to what Churchill that space was, and then to see what they've done within that space now with the renovation is unbelievable. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable when you see that. And I'm just waiting to see what happens with the construction that they're doing at Keeneland right now around the paddock area and what they're doing to provide a different experience for those that go and view horse races there going forward. So,
well, I hope they don't touch those sycamore trees.
Oh, you know they're not going to do that. That would be like damaging the tumors trees down there in Auburn. They would never do that purposely. At least I wouldn't think so. Would they do something like that? That'd be such a travesty. But Jeff, I'm going to challenge you next week to come up with a good horse. I want you to do your homework.
Well, I have been doing my homework. I've been actually watching the morning works this past week. And also, I've got four or five horses in mind. I'm going to try to narrow them down by Saturday.
Yeah, they were showing, I guess, Fierceness. Did a little workout yesterday, a little breeze, and it was quite impressive. I think it was a 5-furlong breeze that Fierceness took yesterday, so that'll probably be one of the early favorites, if not maybe the favorite going in. But again, post position, I think they're doing post position just tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's so Saturday. I'm not sure what time they're having.
Yeah, I think it's later on in the evening, maybe, is what they're going to do. But that's always crucial when you talk about the Derby. When they put those 20 horses out there, you may be the best horse, but you got to have the best ride that day. And
Don't really get serious about handicapping until I see those post positions.
Yeah, makes a big difference. You know, you may have a horse that has typically been out front and not had a lot of dirt kicked in their face and done fairly well, but you get there in the Derby, if you don't get out of that gate fast and then they all come crashing in down towards that rail, it can make for a nightmare and for jockeys that haven't raced in that type of a situation with that many horses trying to navigate that. And that's why those that have ridden many times in that race have a little bit of an advantage. You always hear about when they come around the home stretch here, when they make that final turn and they run right into that massive crowd and they hear that, what they say is a wall of noise, of excitement. Some horses have kind of reared up at that point in time because they haven't been in front of those type of crowds before. So you got to be prepared for that.
Switching up just a little bit, did you get a chance to listen to the West Jessamine Montgomery County softball game last night?
I got to listen to some of that. It was an impressive come from behind win.
That was crazy how they did that.
it looked pretty bad there. It was when it was 5-2, and the Lady Indians, you know, just couldn't get any kind of momentum going, but eventually was able to take advantage of it and did a lot of great things. And hey,
come out with a 6-5 win there.
The boss just walked in. I might be in trouble. You know, Hayes McMakin has walked in here at Scott's Family McDonald's this morning. And we appreciate Hayes and all he does, as well as all of our colleagues there at the Gateway Radio Works Incorporated there on 22 West Main Street. We appreciate all they do. We appreciate Scott Family McDonald's. I'm sure Hayes is in here to get him a nice little breakfast this morning, maybe a McCafe drink. But we ask that you do likewise, whether it's the Maysville Road location where we're at and is our host station each and every Saturday morning, or out at the Pilot Travel Center off of exit 113. Just take advantage of all those great offerings that they have here. And again, that limited time only sandwich, that McCrispy, is the Bacon Cajun Ranch.
Boy, that sounds good.
Oh, you got that Cajun spice within that ranch dressing and then the bacon on that good chicken breast sandwich is amazing. So come on out, try that out. Tell us how you like it. Again, don't forget to utilize the app on your smartphone. You know, go download the app and take advantage of all the great rewards that you can get via the app. And every time you order, you earn rewards. And so you want to be able to do that. Usually, if you go through the drive-thru, it'll be the first thing you ask, are you using your app today? And you want to provide them with your number, and you get credited with that purchase. So do a great job of doing that all the time. That's going to about do it for us here on Saturday Sports Extra. Again, we thank our special guest today, Phil Rising with the NIAAA, and he's gone off the tee off, and hopefully he has success. So for Jeff West, until next week, we do our Derby edition. This is Ivan Rawls saying so long.
FM at AM 1150 WMST Mount Sterling.